I'd like to invite you tonight over to the book of Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. Genesis chapter 17, verse 15 reads this way. It says, "And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Notice verse 17. "Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Again, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people and knowing and being reminded that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in our midst. And so we thank you for your presence tonight. We ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds that we might hear from you and that you would be honored and glorified and our lives empowered to be a witness and a testimony of the grace that you've given to us. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise. Again, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope tonight to show you something that really kind of stood out to me. These are familiar portions of Scripture. If you've been saved for any length of time, this is the father of the faith, really. And the Lord chose Abram, who became Abraham, and now Sarai becomes Sarah, and is giving them a promise that he had promised them some time ago, if you remember. But the title of the message tonight is Cutting Off the Confidence in the Flesh. Cutting off the confidence in the flesh. God has a desire and a will to make every believer exceeding fruitful, right? Exceedingly fruitful. And this revelation and work of God permanently marks and separates you and I as the believer for the honor and glory of God. And so this is a work that the Lord does. And I want to just consider a couple of thoughts tonight, three in particular, and that is the timing and then also the covenant of cutting away all confidence in the flesh, and then Abraham's laughter. So let's back up a little bit and consider this timing, and let's see what's going on here. Let's back up to chapter 16 just for a moment in the last verse, 16. So Genesis 16, 16. And here's what it says. Now, this is after Hagar bare Ishmael. And so we know what a mess that was. So we know the promises has been prior to this. God had promised them to have a son, and Sarai and Abram get this idea that, hey, look, here's Hagar. Let's figure out how we can make this happen. That is exactly what God does not want us to do, to try to make things happen for him. He's the one that wants to make things happen for us. See, listen, this is a hard lesson, and I want you to know we're in good company because Abraham also had a difficult time understanding this. But notice this, listen, and Abraham was 86 years old. That's 86, right? When Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Now, there's a period here of time where there's no communication with the Lord. The Lord waits for us to come to the end of ourselves. Look at verse 1 of chapter 17. And when Abram was how old? 99 years old. So here we have many years that have gone by here because Abraham still had strength. I'm just going to call him Abraham. I know it's Abram and then he becomes Abraham. But listen, he still has strength. He still says, you know, I can help God. That is such a hard thing for us to get out of our system. I can do this for the Lord. I can do that for God. And don't get me wrong. God wants us to serve him, but it's in the power of his might that is often misunderstood and not realized oftentimes till later on in life. So we have, 14 years that have passed by here, and what's going on? Is it 14 years? Is that right? And so here is God approaching Abraham again now because he has no more strength in himself. If you go over to the book of Hebrews, it was when Abraham was dead and Sarah's womb was dead, there was no more ability in themselves. And God says, now I'm going to do something for you. So as we consider this timing, we find that he says this to him. Look at verse 1 again of chapter 17. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram, listen to this, and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, or be upright and sincere before me. It's not talking about perfection without flaw. It's talking about being genuinely sincere, listening to what I'm saying and following my direction. So he says, I am the Almighty God. That name there is El Shaddai, and that means he is the Almighty Satisfier. He is the Almighty Satisfier. We're trying to find satisfaction sometimes in our relationship to the Lord by doing things for him. We think, okay, we're in good standing with him now because I've done this and I've done that. Abraham and Sarah were also trying to do that, and God just waited. God just waited. Let me ask you this question. This is important. Did Abraham experience anything from the hand of God prior to this point? Did he experience the promises of God? Did he experience God delivering him? Did he experience God using him to deliver Lot, his nephew, remember? And so God has already shown and revealed himself many times to Abraham. And now there's this lull, if you will, because God was waiting for him to get to the end of himself. And then I want to look at this other thought here, and that is the covenant of cutting away all confidence in the flesh. And this is going to make sense, and we're going to find this fulfilled, really, in the New Testament. But look here at chapter 17. Look at verse 4. He says this, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee." This is God speaking, right? "And thou shalt be a father of many nations." This is the promise that he's given to Abraham. "Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee." Now, he's not there yet, but see, in the mind of God, it's already completed. Isn't that amazing? God has already brought it all to pass because he's not a creature of time. Amen. He's not a God of time. He supersedes time. And so God has a way of seeing all of this. And then notice verse 6, "And I will make thee exceeding fruitful." Who's the one that's doing the work here? Who's the I? Is it Abraham? No, it's God. God is the I am, right? He's the one that says, this is what I am, and this is because I am, this is what I'm going to do. So he says, "I will make thee," verse 6, "exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant." We saw that the Bible tells us that if we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are of the seed of Abraham as well, right? You remember that? So God says, listen, just if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're of this promise of the work of God that will take place in your life. And so he says, this is for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So as we consider this right here, we find that God is wanting us to understand that he is going to bring us into this place, into this relationship with him, where he will perform all of these things. I'm not going to go into verses 9 through 14, but this is the details of establishing the physical covenant of circumcision, and that is the cutting away of the flesh, right? And that's God doesn't do anything. Oh, I'll just come up with this idea. We'll just do this. This marked the Hebrew. And it reminded the Hebrew that the flesh is not a good thing. It was a removal. It was a cutting away to get rid of it. And that's going to be important here in just a moment. So let's drop down now and let's look at Abraham's laughter. So we understand this covenant that God had established with Abraham, and all the male children were to go through this, and that would mark them for the people of God, this cutting away of the flesh. And now we're going to go here to verse 15 of chapter 17. And it says, "And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Now, here's what I want you to see. Then Abraham fell upon his face. His wife just got a new name. He just got a new name. And now God tells him this. He says, listen, look at the response of Abraham. Verse 17, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart. So this is not out loud. But here's Abraham laughing. Now, let me ask you a question. Why do you think he's laughing? He's not laughing at the promise of God. The focus is wrong. He's laughing because he knows it's impossible with him. He's laughing and saying, how can this be? Now, there's something else too now. He has grown attached to Ishmael. Remember, it's his son. And so he's grown attached to Ishmael. And that's what happens. Listen, when we are accustomed to getting attached to the things of the flesh, we begin to grow fond of them, and we begin to look at the things, the promises of God, as kind of an impossibility. So if God says to you and I, you know what? I have called you to be a royal priesthood, a holy people, because I'm holy, we might laugh also. Oh, you don't know. You don't know me, God. We're telling God that. Lord, you don't understand. I've got this problem. So did Abraham and Sarah. They were dead. And so do you and I. We're dead without Jesus. We're dead without the power of the Holy Spirit. We have no power. But see, if we're not careful, we miss what God is saying, just as Abraham did. And I will tell you this. Every child of God doesn't come to this understanding immediately. The salvation part is immediate. But the coming to this place, and you're going to see this here in just a moment, is a little bit hard to digest. And so he laughs at this, and I don't believe it was because he didn't believe in the Lord, but because he was looking to himself, his focus was on himself. He says this, he says in his heart, here's what he said, ready? Verse 17, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? What's he looking at? He's 100 years old, is what he's looking at. Not look at what he's looking at. And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? Why is he laughing? Because he's looking at himself, and he's looking at his wife, and he knows it's an impossibility, and that's true, but that's not the one who said that was going to bring it to pass. Now keep that thought in mind as we consider this. Look at verse 18. And Abraham said unto God, listen, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. He was all ready to settle. See, look, Lord, just take what me and Sarah came up with, and if we're not careful, that's what we're telling God. Listen, Lord, you don't understand. I battle this and I battle that, and sometimes I run out of patience. Just take what I got, and God says, that's not what I want. That's not what I want to give you. That's not me doing something for you. And so listen what God says here in verse 19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, which means laughter. Isn't that amazing? Which means laughter. Because God's going to get the laugh, right? And Abraham and Sarah are going to be amazed, aren't they, when God does it. So you're going to call him Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. Now, he says, I haven't forgotten about Ishmael in verse 20. We're not going to go there, but I want you to keep this idea, because Abraham, as we all do, listen, he knew the Lord, he experienced God, but he battled this idea of letting go, of looking to himself and doing things for the Lord, and not having God do it for him. So let's go to the book of Philippians just for a moment in the New Testament, and we're going to finish up here, but this is an important truth. And this is really fulfilled. This is all fulfilled. All these things are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 3. All right, ready? Philippians 3:3 says this, for we are, listen, the circumcision which worship God, how? In the Spirit. This is important. And rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence where? We are the circumcision. That was the symbol of circumcision for Abraham. No confidence in the flesh. My people are marked because they have no confidence in the flesh. And listen, that process takes place at birth, but sometimes it takes many years before we learn how to have no confidence in the flesh and allow God to work for us. So again, he's saying here, he says, for we as believers, he says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice. There's joy in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we have no confidence in the flesh. Then consider this here in verse 4 and what confidence in the flesh brings. Ready? Verse 4 says, though Paul speaking, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. He says, man, if you want to spew out credentials, I'm full of them. But he said, you know what he said I did with all of those things? Threw them in the dung heap. They are no good in the sight of God. Paul had to learn how to come to the end of himself. And then notice, the life of Christ is brought through faith in Christ or trusting in him. Notice what verse 7 says. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And you can go through all the way through verse 21 there. We're not going to do that tonight. But it's the Lord that, listen, needed to bring Abraham. Did Abraham, when he was Abram and Sarah, and they went into Hagar, was that the right move in the sight of God? But they thought it was. And then they found out real fast it didn't work, didn't they? And they had a problem. But listen, some time lapsed, and Abraham got used to Ishmael. He said, oh, that Ishmael might stand and live before you. And God said, no, that's not the promise. If we're not careful, here's what we do. Oh, that you just might accept me and be happy with me just the way that I am if I'm failing you. God says, that's not why I saved you. I saved you to change you. In fact, I saved you to give you my life. Isn't that what Christ did? That he would give us his life. But if we don't understand that, we don't even know to ask for that. So here's the challenge. I'm going to encourage you with the thought of Abraham and Sarah. Go into the book of Philippians and read chapter 3. And if you really want to get crazy, just read the short little book of Philippians. There's only four chapters in here. It's not a very big book. But if you will look carefully, you will see, truly, listen, God has set us free. We put ourselves in bondage when we look to ourselves. We fall short of the promises of God to have this idea that I'm going to please the Lord. No, God wants to please us. And empowering us and changing us, then we are an acceptable offering unto the Lord. See, because when things come to pass, we have this understanding. So let me ask you this question, and we'll close with this. When Isaac came, did his chest blow up three times larger and say, look what I did? Did Sarah said, look what I did? Or did they both step back and say, look what God did? See, that's what God wants to do in our lives, that we might be humbled by his, and we might say, as David said, Lord, who am I? You took me out of the shepherd's fold. That could be dangerous, shepherd's fold. And then he brought him before the armies of Israel to fight Goliath. God did that. Do you think that happened by accident? He just happened to be there? God made sure he was there. And God gave him the confidence because he knew that God would deliver that giant just like he did the lion and the bear. David was not looking to how great a slingshot thrower he was. He was looking to his God who could not fail. And do you know who God wants us to look to tonight? To the El Shaddai, the Almighty Satisfier. Is God satisfying you? He wants to. He wants us to have enough faith, and it's not a lot, to call on him, and he has promised that he would answer if we call on him to do these things in our lives, and he'll show us great and mighty things that we don't know. So God says, prove me, and I'll show you what I can do for you. And so call on the Lord this week. I challenge you to look at the book of Philippians and see what God reveals to your heart about what he's already given to us. We just don't know it sometimes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you for your word, the encouragement that it brings to our hearts and minds. Lord, what a great God, truly. You are the almighty satisfier, and we thank you for that. May we seek you, Lord. May you give us a heart to seek after you. And may we realize that you have already fulfilled and provided for everything that we need in order to honor and glorify you, your power, your strength, Lord. Bless Northwood Baptist Church. May you build it for your honor and glory. May we be found faithful when you return. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.